Thank you, Zach. Thank you very much. Magnify. Oh, that was so good. Some of you are like, what was that? Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That was the theme for SAF, and it was such a great week to be with all the volunteers and parents and kids. And thank you so much for serving the planning team, Bijan, Taylor, Drew Lynn, Carissa, all of you, so many of you. Thank you for serving. Can we give the SAF team a hand? Magnify. I think that means you're supposed to be quiet so I can calm you down. I think that's the way that they were using it. And also, fathers, happy Father's Day. How could we forget about you guys? Happy Father's Day, dads. We love you. You are amazing. Thank you, fathers. And thank you, Heavenly Father, right? Let's give him a hand cup of praise. Okay. Too much clapping happening. Good morning. I'm Stephen. I'm the pastor of Community Life, one of the elders. It is an honor and privilege to study God's word with you this morning. Because God is perfectly righteous, perfectly just, we can trust that God is with us in our affliction and all of life's troubles. So how does it make you feel when someone is real with you? When they are honest with you about what is happening in their life. They tell you how things really are and how life is really treating them. The name of the first church that Rebecca and I served at when we became Christians was Real Life Christian Church. Authentic living for real people was one of their slogans. There is a Be Real app that encourages users to share authentic, unfiltered photos of their daily lives. The app notifies users when to be real, and they have to take a photo of themselves or of their surroundings within 2 minutes. And it notifies other people, if you take multiple photos during your Be Real moment, indicating that maybe you weren't being real. So about 2 years ago, it had more than 75 million users. And we're all looking for authenticity in our lives and for others to be real with us to some degree. We admire authenticity. But sometimes I wonder if we overlook when others are passionate, if they are zealous about things that matter to them. So people might be real with us, as in letting us know when things aren't going well, but do we know what others are passionate about? Do we tell others what we are passionate about? So the more I meditate on Psalm 119, I see a follower of God who is not only being real about who he is and who God is, but someone who is also passionate about keeping God's word because of God's steadfast love for him. And during the last two Sundays, we've seen that the psalmist is passionate about trusting and obeying God's word. He is honest with his feelings before God, how he loves God, how he considers the things of God, how he hungers for God's word, how he weeps for those who don't keep God's word. And you'll see today that the psalmist has zeal that consumes him because people forget God's word. And I stated last week that Psalm 119 is an emotional psalm, a very intimate and personal psalm. And I want to add that Psalm 119 is a passionate psalm. So may we be moved to be honest with God and also to share our experience of how God's Spirit is renewing our minds and transforming our hearts. So let's pray for God's help. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful morning. We thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you how you have brought us together today to worship you. Lord, we ask that you would move in our hearts to be able to proclaim that you alone are righteous and that we can trust that all you do is righteous. And help me this morning, Lord, to love your people, to feed your people, to encourage your people. Help me by the power of your Spirit to do these things. And help me in the mighty name of King Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Are you ready to receive this morning's message with great eagerness? And examine the scriptures to see if what I'm saying is true. We are in Psalm 119, verses 137 through 144. Psalm 119 has 22 stanzas or sections, one section for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And you'll notice in your Bibles the name of each Hebrew letter at the beginning of each section. There are eight lines per section, every verse beginning with the same Hebrew letter. We are in the 18th section of Psalm 119, and the Hebrew letter that begins each verse is Sade. Say it with me. Sade. That's very good. So in this section, the psalm's word of choice is righteousness. And I've divided this stanza into three parts. Verses 137 and 138, you'll notice the psalmist's emphasis that God is righteous. God alone is righteous. Verses 139 through 142, because God is righteous, God always fulfills his promises. And verses 142 through 144, God is righteous and God's words are forever stable, even when life seems endlessly unstable. And our big idea, in times of zeal and trouble, delight in God's righteousness, whose word is forever righteous. In times of zeal and trouble, delight in God's righteousness, whose word is forever righteous. First, rejoice, rejoice. Because God is righteous and can't be anything less than righteous. Verse 137, righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules, says the psalmist. The psalmist begins his prayer with a confident belief in who God says he is. He agrees and trusts that God's nature is righteous and just. God is who he says he is. Righteous are you, O Lord. And the psalmist is calling God by his name, Yahweh, Lord. Personal with God. The psalmist is passionate about knowing who God is, who God reveals himself to be. God is righteous and does righteousness because that's who God is. See that emphasis there on God's righteousness? The nature and character of God are righteous. God sets the standard by which righteousness, justice, is to be measured. God is righteous and right are his rules. God's rules, his judgments are right. They are straight. So think of a perfectly straight line. Straight. There's none of us that can draw a perfectly straight line, but think of a perfectly straight line. No crookedness, perfectly level. God cannot be anything other than perfectly straight, perfectly righteous. So does your life feel crooked right now? Does it feel out of whack? Things aren't going how you would like them to go. Relationships are fractured. Lines of communication are broken. Right now, take a moment to open your heart to receive God's mercy for you. And trust that if you give your troubles to God, He will make straight those crooked paths. So you and I are not the ones who determine what is right and wrong. God declares what is right and what is wrong because He is the perfectly righteous one. And we need to rejoice in this truth. We rejoice in this so that we can experience His steadfast love and mercy for us. This Psalm 97, verses 1 and 2, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Cloud and thick darkness are all around Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. And if God is perfectly righteous and just, nothing unrighteous can come from Him. Just take a moment to let that sink in. Let that sink in. You are in good hands if you belong to King Jesus. Why? Because God can only do what is good, what is just. Dr. Wayne Grudem defines God's righteousness this way. He says God's righteousness means that God always acts in accordance with what is right and is Himself the final standard of what is right. So what does this mean for you and me? The Apostle Paul says in Romans 3, all are under sin. None is righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Only God alone is righteous, right? So how can we be counted right before God if only God is righteous? If you want to be counted not guilty before God, you have to believe that the Son of God, King Jesus, lived a perfectly righteous and sinless life, that He died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins, that He was buried and that He was raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God and will judge the living and the dead. We repent of our sins and call upon Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. And we know that to be the gospel. That's the good news. That's how we can be in right relationship with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for our sake He, God the Father, made Him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that good news? Amen. The psalmist further outlines how God is righteous. Verse 138, you have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. Not only has God appointed or commanded His testimonies in righteousness, God has done this in all faithfulness, or more literally, in faithfulness exceedingly or greatly. Great is thy faithfulness, says the psalmist. And isn't that one of our favorite songs, a song that we sing together? Great is thy faithfulness. There is chaos happening all around us, all around the world. And we trust in the midst of all of that chaos that great is God's faithfulness, that God is in control, that he is just. We pray and trust that God will work in and through us as followers of Christ to be a light in times of chaos and darkness. And we are to respond like the psalmist in 115, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Where is our God? He is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases. Encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another to be still and know that God is God. Rejoice because God is righteous and can't be anything less than righteous. And now the psalmist vows that he will not forget God's words because God always fulfills his promises. Just keeps getting better, right? Cherish God's promises because God always fulfills them. Verse 139, my zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. A fire is burning within the psalmist that is about to consume, destroy, or silence him. And why does his zeal, his passion for God silence him? Because his foes, his adversaries, his enemies forget God's words. His enemies are passionate. They're zealous for their own glory, not God's glory. Think of the psalmist's zeal being so overwhelming, so heavy on him that he is speechless. Have you ever had that burning in your heart for things that you really care about? Things that really matter to you? Moms, like when your children disobey you or they say a really bad word, like where did they learn that word? Your face gets all red and your eyes look like they are going to pop out and you just don't know what to say. You are speechless. You have a godly zeal for wanting your children to be obedient, to grow up to be functioning adults. And the psalmist's enemies refuse to trust in the one and only true God. They don't trust that God's ways are better than their ways. When someone despises someone or something you love, do you get a burning anger inside of you? When someone mocks your God, when they joke or laugh at heavenly realities, is it your heart's reaction to defend God's name, his word? I was washing my hands in an airport restroom last July. It's a good intro to any story. An elderly gentleman was right beside me. He was washing his hands and he had a concerned look on his face. So I said, hi. He gave a nod with an annoyed look on his face now, which was a cue for me to inquire even more. So I said, we got to take things one day at a time. It's just, that's what came to my mind. I say it all the time to everybody. That's what I said. He said, no need to worry about tomorrow. And I said, sounds like something Jesus would say. And he looked at me with a burning anger in his eyes and said, what did you say? And in my mind, I was thinking of a defensive posture to take because I thought he might throw a punch. So I repeated myself, you know, to see what would happen next. I said, sounds like something Jesus would say. And I think he thought I was mocking, despising Jesus. He responded with passion, with confidence, with zeal, and said, "Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." And I smiled with relief, and I said, "Me too." He said with a smile, "You too?" I said, "Jesus is king." He said, "He's coming soon." I said, "Amen. Whether we die tonight or he returns before we die, we'll see him soon." And as I left the restroom, he said, "Thanks for your testimony." I was like, wow. I immediately wrote the encounter in my iPhone notes, and I shared it with Rebecca because I didn't want to forget it, because I was struck in my heart by his defense of our Lord and Savior, King Jesus. He was unashamed to call Jesus his Lord and Savior. The psalmist's zeal for God reflects the reality that the psalmist will do whatever it takes to remember God's word, to remember that God is his refuge. He will not idly stand by while others knowingly reject God's righteous rules. He doesn't forget God's word because he loves them. Because he loves them. And this doesn't mean that you and I will not struggle with remembering God's words. But will we love God's words like the psalmist? The psalmist loves God's promises because God always keeps them. Verse 140, "Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it." What God has promised to his people will happen. God's promises are well tried. They are exceedingly tried, exceedingly refined. Psalm 12:6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times." His words are completely refined. There is no dross, no impurities. God's promises are well tried, and the psalmist knows this because he has tested them through his sufferings. He cherishes the promises of God because he has experienced that God was there for him during his trials. God's words can always be counted on times of uncertainty and times of chaos. Isn't it encouraging when someone tells you that you are reliable, that you are trustworthy, that you're a good egg, that you can be counted on, that when things get tough, you are there to support them, to walk alongside them? I praise God that our church does this well. You guys do this well. Thank you for caring for one another and walking alongside one another. Don't give up. Keep it up. Don't grow weary in doing good. Be encouraged. The Good Shepherd, King Jesus, promises to care for his flock when they are in trouble. And I love this line from the psalmist. "And your servant loves it." He trusts that God will continue to fulfill his promises. Consider for a moment how God has been true to his word in your life. Consider for a moment how he has carried you through in your suffering. This should encourage you to be passionate about sharing what God is doing in your life. How God always does what he says he's going to do. How he provides for you. encourage others by telling them how they are maturing in Christ-likeness. I love it when you tell me how God is working in and through you. I love it when you share those stories with me. I see how God is changing my heart. And it's tough. Sometimes I hate it, but I'm learning to love it. One degree of glory at a time. I see how you serve others, how you are hospitable, how you care for others, how you rejoice with others, how you weep for others. And I love it. Imagine if this were always our attitude as a church. If we love the way that God works in and through his servants. Let's practice loving what God is doing in our church. Let's tell one another we love it. We see it. The psalmist loves God's words, even when he feels that his zeal, his passion for God and his word are considered of no value. They're considered as worthless to those who don't obey God. Verse 141, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. He says, I'm small, insignificant, humbled, brought low. The world has canceled the psalmist because of his love for God. Has the world canceled you because of your love for God? The psalmist is despised because he keeps God's instruction. He keeps God's law because he wants to follow the commands of God. He doesn't want to stray from the Father's love for him because he doesn't want to do anything that would displease his God. That's why he is despised. He delights in all that God wants to give him. And we've experienced this to some degree in our own lives, right? 2 Timothy 3:12 and 13. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you follow Jesus, if you are passionate about God and his word, if you do what is right, if you defend the cause of those who are poor and needy, if you speak out for those who are being taken advantage of, if you are a voice for the voiceless, if you speak of the great name of Jesus as the only name that saves, as the only one who will bring freedom from slavery, you will be mocked. You will be made fun of. You will get canceled. You might not lose your life, but you might lose your job. You might lose your friends. You might lose your status as the cool kid. But this shouldn't surprise us as if something strange were happening to us. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be imitators of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Like the psalmist, when we are despised, let us not forget to keep God's word. Let's continue to pray to God who is righteous forever, even when trouble comes our way. Verses 142 through 144, God's word is forever stable, even when life seems endlessly unstable. Verse 142, your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. The psalmist continues to repeat the truth that God is righteous forever, for eternity. God's righteousness is righteous forever and ever and ever. It is eternal, proclaims the psalmist, and God's Torah, God's law, God's instruction is true. And the psalmist candidly expresses his troubles and anguish, even amidst his praise. What beautiful instruction for you and me to follow, to be open with God about our troubles. Verse 143, trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Trouble and distress have found the psalmist. Others may be attacking him and tempting him to run away from the Lord, to disobey the God he loves. The psalmist is in anguish, and it has the potential to stifle his zeal, his passion for the things of God. But he continues to call God's commandments his delight. All right, coming close. We've seen throughout Psalm 119 that suffering in the life of the psalmist is quite frequent. But by God's grace and mercy, like the psalmist, you too can be confident that God will be true to his word. As you encounter trials of various kinds, as you encounter suffering, you will be able to endure because God's word is true and reliable. If you are in Christ, his spirit helps you to endure. And some of you are going through suffering right now in some form of or another, whether it is in relationships or physical suffering or spiritual battles or fighting the temptation to sin. You're going through these things. One brother reached out to me via text this week. He attested to how faithful God is to his promises. He ended his text with, "Praise the Lord," and he put 5 exclamation points behind it. "In your pain and suffering, God is very near to you, even when it feels like he's not. And it may feel at times like trouble and anguish are always following you." During these times, recall those sweet words of King Jesus, John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And the psalmist concludes his prayer by asking for understanding. Verse 144, "Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live." God's testimonies are righteous forever. And because of this, he asks God to cause him to understand that he may live. And we learned that in Colossians this morning. We want to know God more. He cannot be known enough. When you are facing hard times, struggles, temptations, cry out for understanding. Ask for discernment. And maybe you've just begun to read God's word. You don't know everything there is to know about the things of God. And that's okay. Like the psalmist, ask for God to give you more understanding, that you may know God and his righteousness forever. And you can never get enough of God. He will always give you more understanding. King David prayed, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Psalm 139. God is righteous, God is just, and that will never change. The author of Hebrews proclaims that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Yes. Is there anyone more qualified than Jesus to be our all-sufficient Savior? No, yes. I threw a softball for you there. No one. There is none greater than King Jesus. Jesus is the only one who kept all the Father's commandments, who completely abided in the love of God. No one had more zeal for God's house than Jesus. No one was mocked and despised more by his enemies than King Jesus. No one trusted in the promises of God more than Jesus. Jesus is the well-tried and suffering servant who endured the cross. Jesus is the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And to all who call upon Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Jesus says to you, I am with you always to the end of the age. Do you believe this? In times of zeal and trouble, delight in God's righteousness, whose word is forever righteous. Psalm 119, verses 137 through 144. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are forever, righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Let's take a moment to quietly consider what God has revealed to us this morning.